Always enjoy it when Dr. Ron House, John A. Logan College, joins us. First off, it's good to see you, Ron.
Good morning.
You heard about Bob Dallas, too. Do you know
I
Bob?
Did.
Do you know Bob?
Vaguely, yes.
Now,
yes.
You kind of realize there's these people in the community that we kind of stand on their shoulders in many respects, and that whenever they're gone, it's time for you to step up. And I wonder sometimes if we're creating new people to step up. I seem to. I see entrepreneur classes and leadership classes. I hope that's the case.
Well, I don't know whether you learn leadership in a class or not. Maybe. But you're right. You got to have somebody to pass the baton to.
Can I
tell
you?
Even if they're a slower runner than you, you got to pass the baton.
You know how I think leadership is born by giving people responsibility, and then they act accordingly and become. You don't teach it. They teach themselves based on responsibility and following through.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I'm probably a non-typical college president because I think the most critical asset you can have is common sense.
You can't teach that.
You can't teach that. If you have a problem, figure out the best way to solve it and solve it. And that's what we do at home. That's what we do everywhere. Don't get caught up in all of the hoopla.
Some people, Ron, would say that's a cliche, but in my mind, it's not. It's about, you see, because I have a little bit of a problem overthinking things occasionally.
Really?
But I very often think, really, it's a Gordian knot type of issue. Cut it. Don't worry about how to.
I think you have to think it through, a situation or a problem or whatever. Use your best judgment. Use the past experiences you've had and the past experiences that others have had and come up with the best solution that you can. And there is no such thing as a perfect solution, so it's always the best solution.
And what's interesting, if you get a bunch of people together who are like-minded in that respect, you can really get something done.
Yes. Yes.
Moving everybody in the same direction with that same willingness to say, we have a solution. Let's not be distracted. Let's get to the goal line. And kind of, well, I'm limping, I'm hurt, I'm a little sore. There's time to heal up after you get across the line. I'm using sport euphemism.
Well, that's okay. We do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. And all of us, even though we may not have been star athletes, we can all relate to athletic events, and so it is very apropos.
Do you have to be uncomfortable to learn? Does learning have to be painful before you truly learn? And this is something I've been thinking about, and actually a lot of people write about this too. If you ain't uncomfortable, you ain't learning.
You know, I don't know that would be the case. We don't operate on that way at John A. Logan College. We don't make sure that you're uncomfortable before you go to class. We don't make sure that we try to keep you uncomfortable the whole semester so you can learn. I think different people learn in different ways, but basically, some people learn slowly. They have to think it through. Some people sort of grasp it quicker. But being uncomfortable, oftentimes we make the wrong decision if we're uncomfortable. If we're panicky, we always make the wrong decision. And so, no, I know if there's a crisis situation out here on the highway and you don't have time to think, you're going to react.
Right.
And so that's different, I think, than book learning.
As far as you can tell, has the way we teach changed, or does it need to change? Because students have changed.
Students have changed dramatically. We have changed a lot since you and I were in school,
right?
Especially me. You're just a young guy,
right.
But
are you thinking about corporal punishment?
No.
Are you thinking,
well,
in what respect?
No, I don't know that I ever considered that much of a learning experience. Right. That was more of something else, I guess.
But discipline.
But anyway, what has really changed in education is the way we deliver it. We deliver it electronically. We deliver it over TV screens, over computer monitors, over cell phones. The delivery system that we have is quite different than what it is now. Our online programs are growing dramatically. We're happy about that. But that just tells you something about the times.
Right. And I actually met a woman who had come down. She was doing distance learning, John A. Logan College radiology.
Yeah.
She's north of Mount Vernon somewhere.
Yes.
But she was an SIU student, and now she's going back to learn this. And the reason why I saw her was because she was here for like one of three or two exams she had to come to John A. Logan College to do. But everything else had been done through the laptop.
Yes, and it won't be long probably until she won't have to come at all. We'll be able to give exams, monitor those exams, make sure those exams are secure, and she won't have to come at all. So that's where we're headed with this.
And you know what? And let me back Dr. House up on this. The colleges, the universities, which did not begin this process early on, have been left behind in the most literal of the senses when it comes to enrollment numbers. Mm-hmm. Glenn Pichard said as much to me. We should have already done this. This should have gotten done earlier. We are now behind the game, and playing catch up is a hard thing. And there's a lot on, there's many universities and colleges on that list.
There are so many ways to go to school now. And many people do it at 11 o'clock at night, sitting in front of their computer in their sweatpants. They don't get out of the house. I don't blame them for that. I didn't have that opportunity.
Right.
I don't know whether I would have done any better if I'd have had that opportunity or not. Probably not. But there's so many ways. So many institutions do that. Even, you know, we have a finite district that we serve, and there's a hypothetical line out there someplace.
Right.
So you would think we're not competing with anybody. We're competing with everybody. Because our potential students have that same opportunity to set home.
Are you looking at my notes over here? Because
I wrote down
the word while you were saying it. Because I said, look, this you said this is how it's changed, and that change allowed for a higher level of competition. Because you said that hypothetical ring around you, right?
Yeah.
I know you couldn't see my notes.
No, I can see your notes.
Right?
I'm at a distinct disadvantage when I come in here.
Right. So you've got this circle around, but with the internet, that circle is a lot more vague. It could literally be anybody, anywhere in some cases. And for-profit universities have taken advantage of that.
Absolutely. The line is fuzzy. It's out there someplace, but it's fuzzy. And there's more of a trend now in community college education in Illinois to say, if a student has a need, we ought to figure out a way to help that student resolve that need, regardless of what side of the line they're on and whose district they're in. And so we do have a lot of cooperative programs and agreements with other institutions that allow students here to go across that line and get the education that they want. We have a lot of students from other districts come to us to get the education that they want. And so it's kind of blurry line. It's not nearly as distinct as it was when 50 years ago when we were setting all of these up. But even at that, the delivery of that education is much, much different. We still have traditional classes. You go in, you sit down, somebody lectures.
And there's a place for that.
Oh, there is.
Because it's in many ways, it starts building, you know, kind of structure for attending, going to work, showing up on time.
It does.
And then social acumen.
It does build some self-discipline. You don't have to come. But if you want to get what you want, you got to be there.
Right.
And so, yes, it's still there. I think that bleeds over, Tom, to work ethic at some point in time, which the people of our generation still have it. I still get up at 4:30 every morning, whether I need to or not. But the younger ones, one of the biggest problems employers have are finding people who are, number one, not on drugs, and number two, who will show up.
It's a weird thing because I'm kind of notorious for when it's time to take a vacation, they basically take me out the door, walk me into a car and say, get out, don't come back.
Yeah.
Perfect attendance in school for me.
Good
for
you.
That translated into being here at 5 o'clock in the morning every day.
Yeah.
When you say that, I can tell you from, yes, that at least it did in my life. I mean, can't speak for everybody.
Yeah.
Dr. House just mentioned a couple of moments ago that he's a distinct disadvantage when he comes in. And here's why he said this. He has no idea what we're going to talk about.
That's true.
He's never asked. And one of the reasons why I enjoy coming in is because it really doesn't matter what I choose to talk about. You're prepared. And I really admire that about you, by the way, Ron. Because, say, for instance, hypothetically, this was on my list today. I can look at Dr. House and say, Dr. House, why should a taxpayer say, I have to support education? I have to support higher education. Why would you tell a taxpayer this is important for his community and the economy?
Whether they have a student in school or not. Education forms a large part of the basis of our society and what we do. And even though I don't have any kids in school anymore, I pay taxes like everybody else, even though I don't have any kids there. But it improves and increases the quality of life, our life, our old guy's life, like me, young guy's life, everybody's life. It creates job opportunities for a lot of people that wouldn't have those job opportunities. And so if you believe that we all have some responsibility to make life better in this country, to create a platform where we can move forward rather than backwards, then education is the common denominator in that. And we all have the responsibility for that. If we have a responsibility for paying gas tax to fix the roads for everybody, when we go fill up with gas, then we have a responsibility to create opportunity where people can make their life better.
I've kind of always looked at this as the difference between love and lust. One perpetuates the species. The other makes the species worth perpetuating. Right? You can go about life and survive. Or you can go about life and realize the incredible wonder that surrounds you, and education gives you that on-ramp, that knowledge. You can say, look, I want to be a researcher, and I want to cure cancer, right? Admirable thing, right? Yeah. Or you can be a music or a poem, or write a poem and be an artist that salves the wound of a man who's lost his wife through cancer, and there's an entire spectrum there. And ultimately, both are education.
Yes. Those are all very good examples. Anything that improves the quality of my life, it's worth investing in it. And if we have better people out there doing whatever they're doing, it helps me. And so I'm perfectly willing to invest in that. But one of these days, I want to come in here and interview you.
Well, I think that would be fun. I don't know if I'd like it, but it'd be fun, at least for the first couple of minutes anyway. So we'll work on that sometime soon.
All right.
Because it's interesting because we all do have these internal aspects that we qualify education through. With Bob Dallas, as you and I started the conversation, he was a man learned from a distance. My guy was Gene Hale, who was a disciplinarian. It's fun to run. And he would remind you that while you were running 5 or 10 miles.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't about the running, and you and I both know that.
Mm-hmm.
You screwed up, take a couple of laps or miles. And this whole process now, because we look at it, and people say, well, we should do it because it's an economic engine. And C and I don't necessarily see it as an economic engine like I do ISIN. ISIN money comes from all over the world. For any car company that wants a sunroof, that money shows up at ISIN and comes out in payrolls. And then next thing you know, it's a guy over here 2 blocks away who's buying a house and got 2 kids, right? While at John A. Logan College, SIU, other universities, taxpayer money comes in. It subsidizes a lot of items. And I think that diluted course maybe eludes some people because it kind of is a little different item than manufacturing. But still, they both have really important roles, especially, and I hate saying this, especially in an area with poverty as prevalent as it is in Southern Illinois.
Yes. Yes. We tend to forget that, by the way. We probably have a little better firsthand knowledge at Logan than maybe the people do at SIU. We have a lot of kids that can't go to school. John A. Logan College has the lowest tuition rate in the state of any community college. We still have a lot of people who cannot go. We give away over 600 scholarships every year. And many of those people will tell us, the only way I can go to school is with this scholarship.
And some of them athletic.
And some of them are athletic. But many, many, many more are not. And so, yes, we have to be cognizant of that. We have to provide the best opportunity for those people that we can as well. We don't just have an obligation to those that can come and pay tuition, because that guy that's going to cure cancer, he may be sitting in the corner of some building someplace freezing to death right now.
Right.
And so we have to make sure he has an opportunity as well, or she has an opportunity as well.
I've been told many dollars is left on the table year after year, and sometimes they're small. It's $500 here. Pay for your books. That a lot of that money to help people gets left on the table because people are unaware of them.
They're unaware of it, or they're too embarrassed to ask for it.
Seeing that last one bothers me.
Yeah, it bothers me too. And we work hard to make sure that's not the case. But in some cases, it is. Yes, we have money left over. We get new scholarship money all the time. We had our annual foundation meeting last night, our annual meeting. Stacy Schaefer announced a number of new scholarships that we've just gotten in the last month or so, thousands of dollars. And so we make a concerted effort to provide an opportunity for as many people as we possibly can, regardless of their socioeconomic status.
When I see people donate money like that, and they have to John A. Logan College, they've been really gracious. I mean, they really have. But I think that's the tail end of the story. See, we never talk about it. You graduate and you go on about your day. But there's another, because I love stories. Once upon a time, and then somebody eats a poison apple, and then they live happily ever after a big fight or car chase. All right. Well, at the end is all the way at the end is some type of happily ever after. And when we talked about being an economic generator, the fact that you had a student that started at John A. Logan College, not at a university, but started at John A., reflects back on their life and says, I wouldn't be here without them. I have to do this.
Yes.
Maybe that's a little esoteric, but I think that is your score. That's your grade.
Well, if I may give an example that we saw last night. Cindy Bunch, I don't usually mention names, but Cindy Bunch.
No, Cindy, very well.
She and her husband own Walker's Bluff and are probably going to own a lot more out there if the legislature does what they say they should do.
Right.
She announced that when she was started to school at John A. Logan College, she received $365 scholarship.
Nursing.
And if she hadn't received that scholarship, she wouldn't be where she is today. And so now that's an extreme example, but that's what we're all about. You talk about economic engine.
Right.
Just look at that particular situation there. $365 investment.
What a good deal.
What a good deal.
So what I just learned from Dr. Ron House today is the ultimate economic engine is what goes on between your ears.
You betcha. That's exactly what it is. It's we're all part of a team. You got to be a team player. If you want to go back to athletics, you got to be a team player. You got to mix yourself with others to form the team, but you got to be you. You got to be you, and at times you're going to go out on a tangent, and at times you're going to make the winning touchdown because you got just a little more. And we want to make sure we have an opportunity for you to give that a little more, because when you do that, you help the team, you help society, you help Southern Illinois.
Is there anything more rewarding?
Well, I don't know. I always tell people that the highest emotionally I've ever been in my life is at an athletic event, and the lowest I've ever been is at an athletic event.
Right.
And so I don't know what floats everybody's boat, but when you're giving, I think there is something to – it's a little more blessed to give than receive.
Right.
That doesn't always have to be what we think that means. You can give of yourself.
Right. Which is not always money in an envelope.
That's right.
Right. And that is something that eludes people
That's
sometimes,
exactly
too.
Right.
How do we run out of time so quickly? I don't even know how we did this.
I don't know. We're just having fun.
I appreciate you coming in, because since we're going to be on sports euphemisms, we could finish by talking about John A. Logan College and their national ranking from 13th to 8th.
Yes. Well, we had a great night a couple of nights ago at Three Rivers. We beat Three Rivers at Three Rivers. That's an accomplishment. I don't care who you are and what your ranking is. We have a great team. We have a great athletic program, period. We get a lot of donations for our athletic program. It doesn't cost the college as much as you might imagine that it costs us. We get a lot of mileage out of it. I think we talked once before about, is that a recruiting tool? Well, not really. It is for the 150 or so kids that are involved in athletics. It's a recruiting tool. But it does create a winning attitude, and it creates a winning mentality in the people in Southern Illinois and people in this district. Everybody wants to be a winner.
And pride.
And pride.
Which in a derivative of that pride, is ownership.
Is ownership. And that, if you own it, you're probably going to take care of it a little more and work a little harder at
right.
it.
Right. And being part of the team.
Absolutely.
Ron, it's always a privilege. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
You got some graduation coming up?
We do not do mid-year graduation. Okay. We have people who graduate, but we don't go through a graduation ceremony.
I was kind of curious about that.
We have a faculty and staff Christmas luncheon today, and that's the milestone.
You know, I was reading the comments that were attributed to Dr. J. Kevin Dorsey, saying, "Hey, don't despair if the enrollment numbers are down, and we got to decrease our footprint." When you read those things, is there a second order of effect on John A. Loken College from what apparently J. Kevin Dorsey is preparing us for?
If there is, it's minimal. Our enrollment is up a little bit this semester compared to a year ago.
All right.
It's way too early to know what it's going to be in spring semester in January when we come back. We have a little different mission than the university, and we certainly go about recruiting students in a different way than the university does. But to look at it pragmatically, John A. Loken College has 1,200 more freshmen and sophomores than SIU Carbondale. 1,200 more freshmen and sophomores. We have 4,040 freshmen and sophomores.
Right.
SIU has about 2,800 freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah. Full parking lot, though. I find a place to park. John A. You're busy.
We're filling it up a little better. We're happy about that.
Dr. Ron House, John A. Loken College. As always, Dr. House, a real privilege.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure.